Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. Great to be with you. I am Bart Winkler, Carlos Ortiz, alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. It's hour number four of the Bart Winkler Show. We have got Guess What They Said, which we do on Mondays and Fridays at the 20-minute mark of the hour. So make sure you're plugged in. I will guess, based on descriptions from Carlos, what the person is about to say, because so many times people are so predictable in their answers. But not always. There's some curveballs. We've learned there's some more characters than we maybe thought of in professional sports. So we'll do that here in a little bit. Big day in the NBA, big weekend in the NBA as things are starting to get finalized. One thing that was finalized was an extension for Paolo Banchero, who is probably a lot better than any of us even know. I think that if the Magic get good, which they've built a core here, the acquisition of Desmond Bane has a lot of people thinking that they could be a top four team in the East, and that may be the case in Orlando, even if there weren't these injuries to these other guys. But they've agreed on a 5-year, $239 million max rookie extension. It can reach up to $287. We've seen this with some guys. If he gets all-NBA team or earn MVP or Defensive Player of the Year, then he can make a bunch more. The deal also has a player option. The first time a rookie max deal has had a player option since Luka and Trae Young completed their rookie contracts. So it's now Banchero, Franz Wagner, Jalen Suggs, all under contract for the next 5 years, as well as Desmond Bane, who is there through 28 and 29. Orlando is a team that we have heard is getting better, that we have seen glimpses of occasionally, a playoff appearance here and there. They are going to make noise in the NBA next season. We could actually get to a place where we say, are they or let bookmark this? You'll see this headline. Are the Orlando Magic this year's Indiana Pacers? A team that's come out of nowhere? But they really didn't come out of nowhere. They built a team that was going to be good. You know who will not be next year's Indiana Pacers is this year's Indiana Pacers, as they are confirming that Tyrese Haliburton will, in fact, be out for the entire year. They're not even going to give it a try. Well, what does that mean? What's different than what we knew previously? Well, by them saying that, it's allowing Tyrese to just look ahead to fall of 2026. Next year you're not playing. So in your rehab process, don't try to do anything quicker. Don't try to work any harder just to get back for us. We want you back. Yes, but we want you back the right way. We don't want you to rush anything. Well, why would they rush it? Well, what if the Pacers are able to assemble a team that has a better than expected year, again, in a different circumstance, and we could use you for this stretch run? I'm talking last couple weeks of the season. Then we get you in the playoffs, then we can make a run. The Pacers probably are not going to be in that position, so there's no need to game out those scenarios if that's not going to be the case. So they're shutting down Tyrese. I mean, he's hurt, so he's already shut down. But by doing this definitively, we haven't heard this from the Celtics. Celtics may be a different case. Maybe Tatum is going to try to come back and play, possibly in the playoffs. And we're talking here what if the Celtics get to the second round? I mean, we might not see him until then if it's a full year, but they don't want to close the door on it. The Pacers are closing the door. Was the door open to begin with? Probably not, but the Pacers are closing the door. So a couple of newsy items today. And then also, there was another trade that I don't know that it made a lot of sense to me on the surface, because the trade is going to send. It's the Clippers, Jazz, and the Heat. And the Clippers are sending Norm Powell to Miami. John Collins is going to L.A. He was in Utah, previously Atlanta. And then Utah gets Kevin Love, Kyle Anderson, and a 2027 second-round pick. So Utah's had some guys that they've traded, and the return cumulatively has not been great. So they got involved here. I understand the Clippers have been kind of wanting a guy like John Collins for a while. But to give up on Norm Powell, Powell could have been an all-star last year. Powell could have been an all-star. He had a career-high 21.8 points, started all 60 games that he played in, and was really, I think, an unheralded part of any NBA team, and maybe even that Clippers team that, of course, has James Harden and Kawhi Leonard, and before that they had Paul George, and he kind of just like easily stepped into whatever that role would have been. You know, your third guy. But the Clippers, according to Michael Scotto, Hoops Hype, were reluctant to give Powell a long-term deal. He's entering the final year of his deal at $28 million. Kawhi and Harden are signed through the 2026-27 season. And so they're going to be another one of these teams prioritizing cap space. So the next big, like, they'll be free agents next year, but the free agent class in 2027, that's where Giannis could opt out of a player option, you know, trade it or not. That's where Nikola Jokic could opt out of a player option. That's where Steph Curry is going to be a free agent. You know, that's where I think, was the other one, Kyrie? There's some guys that are going to be free agents because I think he signed an extension. So there's some guys that are going to be free agents. So a lot of people are looking ahead to that class now. A lot of people are looking ahead to that class. So there's teams trying to make sure that whatever they do, they don't ruin themselves for the future. So if Kawhi and James Harden are going to be off the books, and then you make it, maybe can pivot. Well, you don't want to be bogged down, I guess, with Norm Powell's contract. And so they're pivoting here. Guys that could be free agents next summer. Banchero, that's done. We just talked about that. Mikal Bridges. Luka will probably sign an extension, so he's out. You get another go with Kevin Durant. I don't know. A lot of these guys are going to opt in on this list I'm looking at. So I don't know how big that class is going to be. 2027 has the potential to be bigger. Whether those guys even consider leaving or not remains to be seen. But the potential of leaving. Boy, if I don't like having to sit through Giannis trade rumors. If he becomes a free agent and doesn't sign an extension, and the Bucks are still an option, but there's other I got to take the summer off or get into carpentry by then. I'm not going to be able to handle it. Kevin Love, who was involved in the deal, will he stay with Utah? Will he not? He tweeted, "Never thought I'd be a math problem. Welcome to the NBA." And that's it again. He got thrown into this deal because you got to juggle salaries. Kevin Love's been playing a long time. Fifth overall pick in 2008. Of course, with the Timberwolves, then the Cavs, now the Heat, and technically now a member of the Utah Jazz. Perhaps he will be bought out. Perhaps he won't be. One guy who it looks like will be bought out now, and this is interesting, is the Phoenix Suns. They saw what the Bucks just did. Oh, you can stretch out the guy's contract and just cut him? Still got to pay him, but we could cut him? they may do that with Bradley Beal. So we're expecting, I guess, any day now for a final decision to be made. Beal, according to Mark Stein, is already exploring options in free agency. So if you're in on Bradley Beal, you may have already talked to Bradley Beal. He, of course, signed that big deal with the Suns where they tried Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker all on one team. And a lot of people said, hey, that's not going to work. And then the pushback was, yes, it will. But then it didn't. Tale as old as time. He's got 2 years and $111 million left on his contract. Again, it was first a five-year, $251 million deal. He had signed with the Wizards. There was a no-trade clause. So that's why Phoenix is having a hard time moving him. And now the harder time moving him is not the no-trade clause. It's, oh, I don't want to pay him that. Bradley Beal is not bad. He's not the best he's ever been at age 32, but he's not bad. He will have suitors. Bradley Beal at $55 million, that's what's bad. Bradley Beal, there's a lot of teams that will be interested in having Bradley Beal on their team, but not at $55 million. So that's the problem. So they want to stretch the salary. The Bucks were able to stretch Damian Lillard's salary. And when you do that, the stretch contract can't cost more than 15% of the current salary cap. Damian Lillard's just got under there. So the Bucks were able to waive him and still pay him every single cent that he was owed. They're still going to pay him that. That's not the case with Bradley Beal. If they're going to try to stretch him to do that, it would be a buyout, but you're buying him out and he would have to give $14 million back. This move would not just save Phoenix some money, the $14 million. This move would actually get them under the second apron, this is so fun to talk about, these numbers, and the luxury tax. So they would avoid paying more than $200 million due to the avoidance of repeater penalties. And isn't that what you grew up thinking about? Is not, man, do I hope my team can win an NBA championship someday. It's, man, I hope my team can find a way to stretch a contract and not have to pay the repeater penalties. That's what I've always thought. That's what I'm instilling in my boy. So he'd give up the $14 million, but then he could probably sign somewhere and, you know, whatever the contract would be there. So where will he land? Where will he land? Well, the Nuggets will likely have their full taxpayer mid-level exemption. This is very fun. Worth about $5.5 million. Beal might be in a come-off-the-bench scenario there. But, you know, eventually could be a starter if he plays his way into it. The Clippers just traded Norm Powell away. So now maybe the Clippers are thinking, if Bradley Beal becomes available, we can get a John Collins that we've always had an eye on, a guy like this. And we'll just replace one 32-year-old with another. He could also sign with other teams for the veteran minimum. Including the Lakers and the Bucks. The Heat may be in this category, although this trade that we talked about might have jeopardized them from doing that. So he can go to the Nuggets, be on a championship contender. He can go to the Lakers and the Clippers, and they'll be contending. Maybe not as good as the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets would probably rank higher in preseason predictions right now. But, okay, you could go to L.A. Or you could come hang out with me in Milwaukee, which is maybe the least desirable place here. if you're going to get the outsider's perspective, I, of course, call it home. But he would be a starter. The Bucks need a guard. How would you feel about the Bucks if they went out and got Chris Paul and Bradley Beal? Okay, a little older, but then you might think differently about them. I've never wanted Bradley Beal. He was always, oh, let's trade Chris Middleton for Bradley Beal. Oh. Fans around me were saying that forever. And then that actually almost happened. But I never wanted Bradley Beal at $50 million. I would love Bradley Beal on a vet minimum on a team that doesn't have a guard. So it's a little different, you know, when you get the contract adjusted. So a busy weekend, of course, in the NBA. Let's get to Austin. He's in Sacramento. What's up, Austin?
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call, Bart. Listen, so the frustrating part as an A's fan and a Sacramento Kings fan is that nobody wants to come here. And I never understood that, man. If you come to Sacramento, if anybody comes to Sacramento, we have a beautiful town. We have great fans. Our arena is arguably the loudest in the entire league. And, yeah, I would like to have Bradley Beal on a vet minimum, too. And I would wish that he would come here, you know? Like, every vet who has ever come here after free agency has said how wonderful Sacramento is, yet we still struggle to get people here, you know? And, man, I'm just tired. I'm tired as a fan, you know? I can't buy jerseys for my kids, my daughters and my sons. Like, I just cannot buy any jersey because who knows how long they're going to stay, you know? But I'm grateful for the 24th and 42nd pick that we just made. The interview that Clifford just made with management a couple days ago, that was beautiful. But hey, listen, if any athletes are listening who are NBA players, come to Sacramento. Come to Sacramento, please. Thank you, Bart.
There's a sales pitch. But if you're Bradley Beal, come to Milwaukee. That might be, Kings fans might be in a jersey situation. I'm not a big personalized jersey guy, but that may have to be the play. That may have to be the play. Or you can get the jersey with no name on the back. You can get that. It's practical, but it does kind of seem like, oh, what are you doing? You can get a name on the back, but then you don't want a guy that's going to leave. Or you might be in the situation, you go throwback. You go throwback. I think if I was a Kings fan, the jersey that I would probably get is, I don't know. I don't know.
You don't know which King jersey you would get if you had to go to get a throwback jersey?
Well, I was going to say Shaq. For some reason, I thought he played there. But he was a minority owner. He was a minority owner.
Yeah, wasn't he a minority owner when it was like the Maloofs owned it? Like, didn't he get
a
piece
sold,
of
it? Yeah, he sold out in 2022.
Yeah, that was a very random like ownership. I'm kind of waffling. Like, in high school, I almost punched a guy in the face because he said I looked like Vlade Divac. And I didn't know how to take that. Yeah, I know. I didn't get it either, but I kept calling him Eduardo Naranja from the Mavs back when he was playing. Well, the dude flat out looked like him. I think I would go deep cut. I would get that Bobby Jackson throwback jersey, former sixth man of the year.
I would get a Tyrese Halliburton jersey.
No, you wouldn't.
Because then it would be a reminder of just how poor this front office has been.
Yeah, they had him and DeAndre Fox.
Yeah, and at least they got fair value in return. 888-710-4ISN. Guess what they said is next? It's the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast. Here at the Bart Winkler Show, we give you hot takes, hot mics, and hot guesses.
It really doesn't matter what you say, and I'm hoping that nobody on our team is playing for you.
It's the audio of the day you need and the transcript you don't.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
I'm real serious.
I put my heart and soul into this every single week.
The contestants are ready.
You play to win the game. Hello?
The Bart Winkler Show proudly presents Guess What They Said.
Listen, we're talking about practice.
Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
Here is tonight's host, Carlos with a K.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
In 2 weeks, that'll be legit. Guess what they said? Every Monday and Friday here on the Bart Winkler Show, Infinity Sports Network. On Mondays, we get you the audio of the day slash weekend. And in this case, maybe stretching past last Thursday because we weren't here Thursday and Friday. God bless America and God bless time off. Bart, let's start Guess What They Said with Clayton Kershaw. He will be making the 2025 MLB All-Star Game. There'll be 19 first-timers, but one legend, as he was the seldom-used commissioner's pick, the legend rule, or I don't know what the hell they call it, but the left-hander is a three-time Cy Young Award winner. He made his first All-Star team in 2011. He's been named to his 11th in the National League as a special commissioner selection. Just a note for everybody, in case you think this is an absolute, you know, no story, Kershaw became the fourth left-hander to amass 3,000 career strikeouts. He's 4-0 with a 3.43 ERA in 9 starts after he started the season on the injured list. So it's not like he's some bum, but he did have to get a special rule to get in. So I want you to guess what he had to say on being selected to the All-Star Game roster. This is 21 seconds long. Guess what Clayton Kershaw had to say.
I've been talking about it a little bit. I've kind of been in his position. I was in an All-Star game once. I was at an All-Star game in my senior year of high school. I was a goalkeeper. And I was like the 30th person asked. Because a lot of the guys, they couldn't do it. And I knew I was not an All-Star. I had no business. I wasn't even like... I was barely good enough to be a starter on my own team. I was like the whatever his name is. What's the guy's name we've been talking about all night?
Kyle Stowers.
Yeah, Kyle Stowers of the All-Star game. But I thought, it's not just an honor for me. My grandpa would really like to see me in this game. And so I will do it for him. So for Clayton, it might be weird to be in. He's not deserving to be an All-Star this season, but on the whole, it might mean more to his family and friends than it does him. One of those friends, by the way, I don't know if you knew this, he grew up with Matt Stafford. I don't know if you've ever heard that. They're good buddies. So I think he would say something like, yeah, you know, it's an honor. Certainly it's an honor, you know, to be thought of in this way. But it is weird. I'm not qualified enough in this season to be an All-Star. I've barely played enough. I'm certainly honored by it, and we'll, you know, take advantage of the opportunity. But it is, it's just kind of different. It's weird. It's an odd feeling, one that I never really thought I would even know to have.
Well, I'm super honored to get to go. You know, it's you never take for granted getting to go to an All-Star game, regardless of the circumstances. You know, obviously don't deserve to get to go this season. Haven't pitched very much, but you know, everything that it encompasses to get to go to an All-Star game and get to be around that. I get to take my family, and I'll never pass up that opportunity.
Good for you. Pretty much in the room, almost like you wrote the thing, almost like you write it for him to talk about. Clayton Kershaw, I think what obviously got you to the point where it's like, yeah, I'm not going to turn
it down. Did a segment on it earlier tonight?
Yeah, that kind of helped. Listen, it's a Monday in July. We're a week before the All-Star break. Let's cut the newsroom some slack, all right? Let's cut me some slack.
Yeah, we've been hard on the newsroom.
Hell, I've been hard on them, and they've been taking good care of me because they actually got me that clip, and I requested that. So maybe it's my fault. But good for you. 1-0 to start. Guess what they said. Let's go to Jonnu Smith. He is the new tight end for Pittsburgh Steelers. Aaron Rodgers gets another weapon to do whatever they're going to do in order to get to 9 wins and inevitably get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs, which is a Pittsburgh Steelers staple. I want you to guess what he had to say on how he feels about being traded to the Steel City. This is 21 seconds long. He spoke about this on Taron Armstead's podcast, which I don't know what it's called, and I also don't care because everybody has a podcast. Guess what Jonnu Smith had to say about being a Steeler?
Mine's called Into the Winklerverse. New episode tomorrow. He said, I'm excited, man. I'm excited. You know, you're going to be in a situation where you can be viewed as a weapon, where you can be viewed as someone who can be a contributor. I'm excited to get it going here. He might name a coach or somebody he knows, and then he'll say, I can't wait. Aaron Rodgers, you know, I'm going to be catching from Aaron Rodgers. That's going to be fun. Just to be a part of this offense and this franchise, can't be more excited.
You know, I'm in a situation where I am appreciated. And you being a 12-year vet, you know what I mean? And as much the success as you had and, you know, your familiarity with how this business worked, you know that, you know, you always want to be where you most value and appreciate it. And that's the situation that I found myself in with Pittsburgh.
All right, so here's why you're not getting the point.
I'm not.
You're not going to get the point. And I'm almost splitting hairs, but kind of workshop with this with me here. He was excited, but really not so much of the prospects of him fitting in with the Steelers in terms of offensive game plan, contributing to the team, all that stuff. This was more like a look at me kind of soundbite from him. I don't know if you want to play it again, maybe you can talk me out of it, but I think Jonnu Smith was too self-serving in this clip where he was just like, I get to go to a team that wants me, that appreciates me,
which,
you know,
is
it's
what
business
I said.
And blah, blah, blah. I don't know if you said that, and if you did that, I apologize, and it kind of makes this entire point moot.
You don't know what I said?
I don't even know what I did 2 minutes ago. Okay, all right, I'm like a golden retriever.
You're judging? What are you judging me on if it's not what I said?
Because what I think you said was not that.
I definitely said to go somewhere where you're appreciated.
Maybe you did.
I know I did because I know that's what he said. So that's why I answered it that way.
Ah, well, then you don't get the point for cheating. Let's go to...
What are you doing where you're not listening to what I'm saying?
Setting up the next clip.
Then what are you judging me on?
Hey, listen. All right? There's a lot of flashy buttons in this spaceship, okay?
What am I... Marco, you might have to get in here after all.
He just walked into the room.
I feel like you were going to say, what am I paying you for? And let's be fair, Bart, you're not paying him.
Correct.
So that's
not
the way
to go. Did you hear what just happened? May I tell you?
I did. No, I heard the entire clip. Now, Carlos went about it the wrong way, but I wouldn't have given you the point either.
But Carlos doesn't know. He doesn't know what he's even judging because he didn't listen to my answer.
And maybe I did.
And that's a failure. That's part of the job. Listening is the key aspect of this whole thing. But if you were to listen to the clip, you would realize, spirit of the clip, you went the team first, love to play with the organization, franchise, and quarterback. Jonnu Smith went with, I'm straight loving the fact that I'm not a Dolphin. Spirit of the clip.
Which I said, though.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll take it wrong.
You glossed. You hammered the other points. I would not give you that point.
Vindication!
So this was the problem, is I knew he said that, but then I'm like, Carlos goes 21-second clip, so then I started throwing it. So I would say, I will agree that I got it wrong in that I threw too much out there. And that, well, yeah, one of these swings is going to get a base hit. But to not lit, jeez. All right, so it's 1-1.
Okay. I was listening. I just explained it wrong, and that's why Marco judged it fairly. Can we move on, or do we need to like make an impromptu like therapy session?
Well, that's what hour 5 is going to be tonight.
People are still asking me about that podcast. Let's go to Sauce Gardner. Let's try that again. Let's go to Sauce Gardner, Jets cornerback. I want you to guess what he had to say on Justin Fields in practice. Now, he spoke with your favorite guy on the four-letter network, McAfee. Pat McAfee. It's actually Pat McAfee, but, you know, you get the gist. I want you to guess what he had to say. 21 seconds of Sauce Gardner talking about his new quarterback in Justin Fields.
21 seconds?
Si, senor. 20.8 if the 0.02 was going to throw you off.
Well, he's got to be complimentary, right? Oh, it's great to see him work. He's first one there, last one leave. He works so hard. You know, to go up against him in practice is going to be a lot of fun. And we're just going to try to make sure this team gets better, everyone gets better. And I'll contribute to that, too. But he's an energetic man. He's a great guy to be around. And looking forward to him as our quarterback.
He made a few throws in OTAs that I'm like, yo, I did not know he was capable of making this throw because it's only a certain amount of quarterbacks that can make. I'm talking about his throws on like Aaron's type of level. Like Justin then made a few throws where I'm like, okay, he really been in the lab for. I could just tell.
Do I need to explain the buzzer there?
I do not think that you do. No. What's the next one?
1-2 for anybody that's counting score, and by anybody counting score, I mean it's just Bart. It might be just Bart at this point because I don't know what I do here. Let's go to Angel Reese. Her Chicago Sky, they lost the game on Sunday to the Minnesota Lynx, 80-75. But Angel Reese, I want you to guess what she had to say after the game, 22 seconds long. On the foul call disparity in their loss to the Lynx. Just to give you context, in case you don't have any of the numbers in front of you, the Chicago Sky attempted 8 free throws. The Minnesota Lynx, they had 17. So, maybe that'll nudge you in the right direction to get you back on track, and we go to this tiebreaker clip. Guess what Angel Reese had to say on the disparity of foul calls.
I think it's garbage. I think the refereeing has to get better in this league, night in and night out. It's always something with the officials. There's just not consistency enough. I don't like the way that I get called, and we just need to be better as a league to figure this out. It's a big problem. I'm a victim.
Victim. It's tough when you talk to officials, and I ask them, hey, we only shot 2 free throws. We've only been to the free throw line twice up into the fourth quarter, and she tells me it's not her job. So I know it's frustrating because I know how hard we're battling inside, but that has to be fixed. And I don't give a damn if I get fined because that's and I am tired of this because I've been nice and I've been humble with it, but I am tired of this.
Nah, I wish you would have threw a couple of more censored words in there, but obviously spared a clip. It was easy to say that she was not going to write anything glowingly about the referee. So 2-2. This fifth clip means something today. And if Bart doesn't get the win, I will be fired for the rest of the week. So, I want you to guess what Pacers president Kevin Pritchard had to say on if he would have played Tyrese Halliburton in Game 7 of the NBA Finals against the Oklahoma City Thunder. This one is 19.7 seconds long, so let's just say 20. Guess what Kevin Pritchard had to say.
Ooh, the GM. Well, the coach said yeah. Tyrese said yeah. Yeah, look, we were one game away from the NBA Finals. And I think at that point, you got to kind of talk to everybody involved. You got to talk to the doctors. Most importantly, you got to talk to Tyrese. And if he felt like he could go, you know, how do you tell a guy when you get that far not to go? Obviously, hindsight is 20/20. Or 2010 if you're Bart Winkler, because that's Bart's vision. It's kind of like a superpower. It's kind of like Superman, actually. He's good looking as well. Don't grade me on that.
I would not there.
But yeah, you got to talk to Tyrese, and you know, you can't. You know what I'm saying. I've kind of said it. You're good.
He's told me many times. This just shows you what kind of kid he is. I would do it over and over, and if you're asking me, would I have him do it over and over? I would not. I would not. If I knew that he was going to get hurt, I would sacrifice that game because I care for the kid so much and want him to have an incredible career.
Now, Bart, I will have you know that I listened to every word, every syllable.
I didn't get it right. Just
every letter
just play
what you said.
Just play the thing and let's get out of here.
And my final determination upon listening to everything that you said. And you tried really hard.
I did, but I didn't win.
And I applaud you for your effort.
Thank you.
And I think you're a great guy.
It's very nice of you.
And I cannot wait for you to get selected in another All-Star game in whatever sports industry version of an All-Star game there is.
Barrett doesn't write about me. He didn't put me on his last column.
Well, that's enough for me bloviating.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
And that's guess what they said.
May I for a second?
Yeah.
If I could please. Bart, you got mad at Carlos for not listening. Do you realize you lost on a clip that I literally played last hour? So both of yous get nothing, because that's awful. Awful. Awful.
Well, I don't play this game.
Talk about nobody listening.
Very true.
Terrible job.
Last hour was very important. I had to go relieve myself.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
And I had to fill up my cup of water.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're a flower. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, the summer I should pay more attention to Marco's updates, because we'll probably need those clips.
Because chances are I'm using at least three of them.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get him back on Friday.
That's right. That's the spirit.
And Jeff said I only work 2 minutes an hour. See?
Now, Jeff that? And everybody else doesn't know what you got to do behind the scenes to make those the glorious 2 minutes possible.
How about that?
All right. Thank you, guys. Very nice, both of you. Let's get an update from Marco Belletti, which I'll listen to.
You don't have to go home, but we have to get the heck out of here.
Shut it down! Let's go home!
Here's tonight's Winkler's thrilling factoid.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Your nightly WTF.
What did you say?
Wait, WTF? What the?
Oh my God.
Only on the Bart Winkler Show.
So is the premise, did you write that?
I did.
You wrote that?
So I write all of our opens.
Right, right. So the premise is, he says WTF, and then realizes it stands for WTF, and then says, what the?
Which is funny, because the dry recording that I got back, he actually does say the F-bomb. I legitimately had to bleep that out.
I got one drop somewhere. I don't think it's edited, so I can't play it. It's, who the is Bart Winkler?
And he says, that's your AI video they're very fond of.
And he says it. No, it was him. It's that guy. We used to use him, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All right. I got a few All-Star facts. Let me give you as many as I can. The Dodgers lead the way with 5 All-Stars. It is the 6th straight All-Star team with at least 5 Dodgers on it. Now, that's a rule we can change. That is tied with the 49-54 Dodgers for the 4th longest streak. The leader in that department for 5 guys in consecutive years is the 56-65 Yankees with 10. The 5 include legend selection Clayton Kershaw. His 11 seasons as an All-Star break a tie with Pee Wee Reese for most in Dodgers history. How about them? As you would call them, the Detroit Tigres are one of 2 American League teams with 4 All-Stars. This is the first time the Tigers have had at least 4 All-Stars since 2015. Miguel Cabrera, Jose Iglesias, J.D. Martinez, and David Price. The other team in the American League with 4 are the Mariners. First time they've had at least 4 since 2018. Nelson Cruz, Edwin Diaz, John Segura, and then another guy's name who I stopped saying on the radio. And you can look it up and figure out why. Shane Smith is the 2nd Rule 5 pick to be an All-Star in the first season after being drafted, joining Dan Uggla for the 2006 Mariners. He's the 1st rookie pitcher to be an All-Star for the White Sox and 7th in rookie franchise history. How about another fact? Vlad Guerrero Jr. is a starter. It's his fifth All-Star selection overall. His dad made it 9 times. They are the first junior and senior, first father and son, not just junior and senior, first father-son duo to at least be All-Stars 5 different times. That's exciting. This will be Aaron Judge's 6th season making an All-Star game. That will tie Bill Dickey for 6 most seasons as an All-Star starter in Yankees history, now only behind Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra, Joe DiMaggio, Derek Jeter, and Dave Winfield. And let me give you one more fun fact here. Javier Baez will be the 4th player to start an All-Star game at 3 or more positions in his career, counting the outfield as one position. He will join Pete Rose, 1st, 2nd, 3rd outfield, Harmon Killebrew, 1st, 3rd outfield, and Albert Pujols, 1st outfield and DH. He'll be the first player to start All-Star games both in the outfield and as a shortstop during his career. So that's pretty fun. 14 players have started at least one game as infield and outfield, but he's the first to do outfield and shortstop. Thanks to Toby Altizer for joining us, 106.7 The Fan in D.C. Thanks to Marco Belletti, Carlos Ortiz, and all of you. Pat Boyle is up next. This is the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.